Introduction. 6 a.m. morning wake-up call. We were required to be at our roll call post by 6 a.m. 6 a.m.! Who in their right mind show up fully functional at 6 in the morning? In the military, 6 a.m. was our routine time to round up personnel, dispense the workload of the day, and complete a uniform inspection, all before the morning start where we raised the U.S. flag. During the morning colors, we would stand at attention, and as soon as we heard the three whistles, we carried on about our day. The workday normally lasted until about 3 p.m., where we would assemble again for final words, and then we were sent home. Well, at least sent back to our barracks. In 2005, the U.S. Naval Base on 32nd Street in San Diego, California, went through a major renovation with the establishment of a brand new building. Each room included a bunk bed, one bathroom, one closet, and one storage unit that would be used to lock away our electronics. Each room required two roommates, but my roommate was never there, so it was like having a room to myself. I had my TV, my PlayStation 2. Life was great. The only problem was that my room was located directly across a main street that offered me countless opportunities to recklessly spend my money. Beyond the fenced area of military property was a street that had businesses that were placed to supply to the desires for all military personnel. Around the corner, there were corrupt car dealerships ripping off adolescent young kids by leasing and selling cars with skyrocketed principals and premiums. There were also countless liquor stores stationed on every corner surrounding the military base. And there was a small business that seemed to never close, that used fluorescent lights to attract their customers to come in and enjoy their goods. Directly across from my room was a store with the marking of only three letters. Three letters didn't spell out a word, but when you see it, you automatically know what it stands for. For some, the grouping of the letters was a disgusting marker that caused many to scoff at what it represented. For others, it became a safe haven from the cares of life. I remember driving by and seeing some men enter the porn shop, dressed in dark clothes, trying to look incognito, while others didn't care. They walked in as if it was a bank, where they made their deposits and withdrawals. For me, this place represented my drug house. It was a place I spent my hard-earned money, only to get in return guilt I couldn't give back. What kind of transaction is that? You pay $1 for 5 minutes of free content, and the only thing you get in return is a guilt trip? My friends, I can't tell you how many guilt trips I paid for. Honestly, I think I paid for so many guilt trips. I had a timeshare for every trip, and I would visit too often. On this one particular Friday, after a productive workday, I went to the barracks and sat in my room with the freedom to do whatever I wanted. While the liberty to do what I wanted brings joy to most, I still felt like a prisoner. I spent my Friday afternoon staring across the street at the shop with a somber look, knowing that is where I would end up. As I said before, it was like a drug. I could go in, get high, and leave. It was accessible, it was convenient, and it was across the street. There was also an additional problem. Not only was I given free access to indulge and feed a poisonous craving, but I found myself unable to shake the guilt I felt afterwards. Yeah, I felt dirty after going there. I felt disgusted with myself. There were times I would go in and cry while feeding the machines dollar after dollar. I often found myself walking out of the shop on the brink of depression from the overwhelming guilt and shame. And no one, I mean no one in my life, knew about it. See, I never took the time to tell anyone what I was truly dealing with. So all my friends and my family thought I was fine. I found myself justifying my isolation with thoughts like, did anyone even care? Why should they? Their story wasn't mine. They don't know what I'm dealing with. They wouldn't even know how to handle it, even if I told them. With all the excuses I came up with, I considered there was one truth that I had in common with the regulars at the porn shop. Regardless of our age, background, race, gender, marital or social status, we all had a secret craving that never seemed to go away. But with this secret craving, my story had an unfortunate twist that took my guilt to another level. Aside from the unhealthy appetite in my carnal man, there was a bigger problem. You see, the challenge I had was that I was a young preacher.
Can I share something with somebody? Here's the thing.
I was once a youth pastor.
He is after your
not just that. I was a Christian. My faith in Jesus Christ required me to give him my heart. And while my mouth confessed Jesus as Lord, my heart was drawing me to feed the passions of what the Bible calls my flesh. You see, lust grabbed a hold of my heart and drove me to feed an appetite I created when I was 12. As a result of the seed planted at 12, there was a craving inside of me that tugged at me with every beat of my heart. So, on this Friday night, I grabbed my stuff, put on a big hooded sweater, and proceeded down the street of shame. I can recall this night as I drove down the street to the porn shop. I realized that I didn't have any dollar bills to spend. I'm ruffling through my wallet in my pockets, and then I begin to consider, what if this was a sign? What if the Lord was trying to provide for me a way of escape? Friends, have you ever discovered joy in the idea that God blocked you from walking into a ditch? Or walking off of a cliff? Or walking into the arms of danger? The unfortunate reality of these joyous moments is that although they are significantly uplifting, they often do not last long. This night I started my car, proceeded driving away with a slight smile. Tonight is going to be a good night, I thought to myself. Although the lack of money to feed a poisonous craving is hardly a victory, it felt like one nonetheless. Unfortunately, my victory was short-lived. As my flesh craving grew out of control, it resulted in me making a quick turn to a local gas station to petition for cash back. The cashier told me cash back wasn't available from the register, but he pointed me to a nearby ATM that required a service charge. So I thought to myself, okay, here's way of escape number two. God really is trying to give me a reason not to go. As stated, it's unfortunate that some victories are often short-lived because the craving for self-indulgence doesn't go away without a fight. So, what do you think I did? Did I take the Lord's offer and use the way of escape to win the battle of the night? Did I call for assistance, some sort of accountability to ensure I stayed away? No. I went to the ATM, paid the $3 service charge, withdrew my $20 and proceeded to my drug house. I was even more disgusted with myself when I realized how low I was willing to go in order to provide for the craving that I had. After withdrawing money from the ATM, I proceeded to the store and indulged in the fire of my unhealthy appetite. $10 in, I prayed to the Lord to forgive me.
Clean heart.
I quoted Psalms 51 countless times. Even as I prayed, I fed the machine more money.
Don't take your Holy Spirit from me.
Honestly, it was by this time I felt my prayers were of no effect. Or maybe the true conflict was in me praying without the intentions of truly repenting and turning away from my evil passions and desires. The night was far spent. I spent the rest of the $20 and went back to my car. I didn't quickly speed away. I didn't even turn on my car. Instead, I just sat there and sobbed. It was at this moment I felt like the Apostle Paul in Romans 7:24. Oh, what a wretched man that I am. Who can deliver me from this body of death? If you go a few verses before that, Paul confessed in verse 19, the thing I know to do, I don't do it. While the thing I hate, that's what I end up doing. My friends, this was the story of my life for nearly 3 years. Fighting a war I knew I would lose because I truly wanted to do what I hated, how I felt even after still doing it. What do you think would be the remedy? If you hate what you do or how you feel after what you're doing, then stop doing it, right? Have you ever had that dilemma? Where you found yourself doing what you hated or how you felt after doing it? Well, let's consider the facts. No one likes to feel guilty. And no one likes to feed an unhealthy craving that never seems to go away. The problem is dealing with the invisible magnet that draws you to whatever you're craving for. I mean, sometimes the craving or appetite comes out of nowhere. You could be bored or busy. You could be in a group of 100 people, or you could be in a group of 2 or 3. The lust of the flesh does not have any morals, no values, nor does it have any respect for you or your spiritual vitality. It wants what it wants when it wants it. The question you need to consider, will you feed the monster or will you commit to starving it until it dies? The Apostle Paul once said in his letter to a church that he has committed to live a life of self-control because he has learned to subdue his body and bring it under subjection. 1 Corinthians 9:27, he says, but I beat my body and bring it into submission, lest by any means, after I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. For me, this scripture creates the idea of a UFC fighter who has his opponent in a headlock, trying to get him to tap out. I say to you, friends, just like the UFC fighter, you are eventually going to have to learn how to make your flesh tap out. Otherwise, you will always be susceptible to fall to the demands of your carnal self. One of my favorite commercials is a tobacco commercial where a man is sitting on the couch watching TV and he sees a pack of cigarettes on the table. As the music shifts, we see the man looking over to the left and he sees himself staring right back at him. It was the antagonist who was there to stop him from indulging in his unhealthy habits at any cost. They have a quick staring match until suddenly the man jumps off the couch to grab the pack of cigarettes while the other self wrestles him to the ground. The wrestling match is brutal. You can see the desperation on both faces. Nearly a minute in the match, the man hears his wife call his name and he snaps out of it. There is no other self. There is no pack of cigarettes. His wife looks at him and asks, "Honey, are you okay?" He sits still, looks at her and says, "Yeah, I'm okay." When I first saw that commercial, I immediately saw myself. Unfortunately, there are a lot of battles that I've lost, but also many that I've won. But with every victory or defeat, there was always a battle. And maybe this is the message meant for you. Is there still a battle raging on the inside of you where you refuse to quit and give up? Or are you so far gone that there is no longer a conflict? Do you just lay there and let the flesh have its way? Or do you give God the benefit of helping you fight another day? My friends, my aim for you in this book is not about how to stop fighting. Because as long as you are alive on this earth, there will always be a cosmic battle between your carnal man and your spirit. You will always have a craving or appetite brought on by your flesh. For you see, temptations are created by the great adversary in his attempt to kill, steal, and destroy you. The real question left to consider: are you willing to fight another day? Are you willing to take the punches and allow God through the Holy Spirit to give you the power to obtain the victory you deserve? My friends, can you commit to suffer a while until you learn to remain steadfast? You see, life doesn't have to be a series of ongoing guilt trips. You can actually make that train go out of business if you can just learn to identify your bait, allow the Lord to pull the hook out your mouth, and submit to the Lord over your life. My friends, we serve a God who makes available his power to destroy every yoke of bondage in your life. We serve a God who can break and destroy every chain in your life. We serve a God who can do the things that are impossible with man. We serve a God who can do anything, I said anything, but fail. But you must learn to identify your patterns and habits in order to close the door on your cravings and appetites. So, I invite you to take this journey along with me, where I hope you are able to identify your sin patterns and commit to implementing a strategy that will help break the unhealthy habits created in your carnal mind. Remember this: there is nothing our God cannot do. What he's done for others, he can do the same for you. Your responsibility is learning how to trust him at his word, follow his way, and submit to his will for your life. If you desire to be liberated from the shackles of the lust of your flesh, my friends, you can be free. And I believe you will be free. I declare it even now that your past will be left in the past. And according to God's will, you will move forward in living victoriously.